so we can record our discussion. So this should be recording now, and we'll just have that available as needed. So I guess who wants to start? You know, advocacy and education, what if we look at what, you know, the things that we want to do, so feedback and refinement on this theme, you know, is, you know, it's, again, it's a broad, those are broad things. And then the last plan, those were actually in separate pieces. Advocacy was, you know, lumped in with its, let's see, how advocacy and funding was together. Okay. Environmental education was together. So how do we need to refine this and talk about it? You know, and then what are the issues and maybe the overall goal of what this group would be, and then start to talk about who, you know, who needs to be involved that's not, that could help drill down into this discussion and the, and, you know, subcommittee meetings and really start to help develop it as part of the plan.
Well, just going out of order, Ann mentioned that we don't have anyone from the Department of Education on our track committee. So I think that would be the first order is to possibly, I have a few names from the Department of Education, but possibly someone even from the side, like the physical education or the coordinated school health side, that's kind of a more health and recreation focused than the rest of the education, the Department of Education. So maybe we start with some names from the Department of Education. And also, do we have anyone on this committee from the Parks and Rec, the statewide Parks and Rec organization?
What, through TDEC?
What's that?
Yeah, the Partis guys, like Gerald and George and all those guys.
TRPA.
Oh, yeah, the organization. People. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm a member.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a member of TR.
Is there like a director of that program, or is there any kind of leadership of that program? Do you think they would be a good member of our group?
I think it'd be a great idea. Yeah, Candy Rawlings. She's the executive. Good. Yeah, she's the executive director.
Okay, yeah. Okay. And the names I have.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was just going to ask you. What are some of the names that you had?
Betsy Cashin with the Department of Education, and I need to go do some research and make sure these are the most pertinent people that would be applicable to this group. But Betsy Cashin and Heather Pierges, Pierges. I'm going to have to Google that, make sure I've got it right. But those are two people that I work with Healthy Parks, Healthy Person. At the Department of Education, and they're good peeps. They seem to be forward thinking in all aspects.
Where are they based out of? Is that Nashville? Out of Nashville? Okay. Yeah. That's where Candy is as well. Or I think their office maybe is in
Franklin.
Franklin, that's right. Okay.
I'm drawing a blank at the moment. I always do my best thinking at night when I'm getting ready to go to bed.
Yeah.
So, but no, it's a, I think you're right on. I think definitely trying to get this more implemented through education is a great idea. I think advocacy can come from many different ways. Just trying to promote, you know, anything from healthy living to just, you know, lifestyle to everything. I mean, parks come at you in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great idea because parks are all things to all people. You know, it's like it's the one common ground, you know, that we can all sort of, it's parks, it's neutral, you know, and it's a good way to get that. But how do we facilitate it out to get to everyone and make it fair? Those are the hard ones. You know, it seems like a lot of times the people are saying the right things, but it's like getting lost in translation sometimes. And I struggle with it. I've got three kids of my own and trying to get them off the video games and, you know, trying to get them out to be, you know, healthier and happier and stuff like that. I mean, I'm a grumpy bear if I don't work out. I've got to do something every day. I'm an outside person, and, you know, I want to be that kind of person, but I don't know. It's tough. But the advocacy, you know, try to keep that. And I understand why the funding was there with the last one, because it goes hand in hand. You know, you try to get the advocacy, but you got to have the funding there to promote the projects, promote the, you know, the growth and things of that nature. So I can definitely see where it was there the last time. But now, I mean, it's, you know, with education, I think it's even better, really. So I'll try to come up with some names. I've got a few in my head right now. I'm just thinking, what's the best role they could play?
I wonder if it would be helpful to have just a local Parks and Rec director from, you know, any old city or county, so they could kind of give us more of an insight into what, how we could actually make partnerships work. I really liked one of the initiatives, the failed initiatives that Ann read, was the reoccurring series with local Parks and Rec departments. I think that's such a natural partnership, but here we are on this side and we may not know really how they would prefer to work together. And maybe that's something Candy could help us with, but I'm just thinking maybe we just go straight to the source and just get, you know,
and would it be regional?
Parks and Recs department or something.
Yeah.
Well, and would it be regional? I mean,
we could do one from each region.
Yeah. Seems like that would be important, right? To definitely cover the spectrum. And not that the plan necessarily is going to be divided into a regional plan. I think those types of things have been done in the past, but the Tennessee is so different from the west side of the state to the east side of the state. So definitely having some, thinking about that a little bit, who could we bring in to kind of catch those different regions?
Right.
And maybe, and that's the way, the easy way to do it with parks directors, parks and recreation directors.
And also then we kind of could get some more rural, because, you know, so far we've listed people that are based in Nashville and based at the kind of heads of these agencies, but maybe we can make sure we're reaching these rural communities too, because that's part of advocacy, advocating for those who also don't have equal access to a park.
I think that's a great idea.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea. And to touch on that, I think it's just as important to hit it from a rural perspective as it is a metropolitan area. You know, if we could get the three different directors, it ain't necessarily have to be east, middle, and west, but just different departments. I mean, you know, you get larger departments and, you know, not necessarily maybe overseeing 300 employees, where you go to a rural director. First of all, they don't, some of these rural areas don't even have a Parks and Rec director. So, you know, how do we get into those little rural areas? And in some rural areas, it's maybe a staff of two. So I think it's very important. And rural in the state of Tennessee is, 75% of it for the most part. And these people that don't have representation, like you said, it's great.
You know, something that was brought up, it was one of the survey responses, but if we've talked about equity, you know, and there's kind of the equity and the access, those things kind of go together, right? And that, you know, was the idea, instead of having, you know, just one sub working group or subcommittee focused on equity, that it's more of an overarching common theme to the entire plan. So, I mean, we're talking about it here, environmental education, there's a, this huge equity component to that, but that is sort of relates to all the topics. So I think that's a great point. So how do we incorporate that? And is it just something that all the groups need to just incorporate into the plan? It needs to be somehow documented in the planning document how equity is a piece of everything.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it certainly is for education.
I mean, in my mind, equity is really just, first of all, getting people to the parks, because they can't ever feel comfortable or want to visit a second time or want to become, you know, a steward or fall in love with the park if they first never get there. I don't know what that means for our group, but I think that's just, step number one.
How about one of the things that was talked about, and the formal name of it, the Tennessee Environmental Literacy Plan. So that was one of the things Ann mentioned, that it was not adopted by the Tennessee Board of Education, but it was completed back in 2012. And it's a pretty good document. If you can find it online, I don't know if anyone's aware of that, but you know, is that something that obviously relates directly to this literacy plan that was completed, and the idea was to incorporate that into curriculums, but it never happened. Why not? You know, maybe that's something that this group needs to drill down into, reviewing that document. What happened? You know, why didn't that move forward into communities? And is that something that should be pushed more? And especially and you talk about urban versus rural communities, you know, there's going to be more probably access to some of this environmental education in some of the larger population municipalities. You know, just they have offer more programs and things, maybe, you know, so offering something like that to rural communities, so they have some kind of a template go to that they could incorporate into some of their programs, you know, just giving them some tools of something to use.
Okay, I admit I did not do my homework. Can you just give me a brief synopsis, a little bit more of the ELP and what it entailed?
Yeah, let me see if I can pull it up really quickly.
I can pull it up too.
I may be able to just share my screen.
Okay.
I think one of the problems that just something that I've run into a couple of times, just some thoughts we've had with our local schools here in Sevier County, is they've got such a curriculum and such a time load of what they've got to get done. And they've got every minute planned for every day, and they get hit with many other groups coming in saying they want to put this in their curriculum. And I think it'd be helpful to hear from them why they didn't like it, how they possibly could adopt it, if they need to adopt it into more of a science-based, you know, something. I really don't know, but I just know that to get 15 minutes in a school setting right now is pretty tough. And I mean, let alone a pandemic. I mean, it's a joke right now, but I just know in years past, we put on the Arbor Day programs. We do some things, you know, as far as trying to get some environmental education classes out to the parks. And it's like, we could maybe do 20 minutes on December the 3rd. It's really tough, really tough. And I don't know if that had anything to do with it or not, but I just know they're very tough with their curriculum.
Good point.
I almost feel like we should just focus on, because it's so strict and they're so regimented, you know, minute by minute, like you said, Tom. We should more focus on how do we get into like before school or after school programs if we're trying to go into the schools, you know, they're just so, I'm with you. I got three kids too, and there's no time. it's sad.
I just sent both of y'all a link to that plan document, the literacy plan document.
Got it.
That's a good point though. So, you know, how do you get that stuff out there? I know I live in Germantown outside of Memphis, or suburb of Memphis, and we have a tree board that I serve on. The tree board, a lot of times, is that group that gets a lot of environmental education stuff out to the communities. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, attending events, different events in the community. The tree board will set up a booth. We host a tree giveaway. We, you know, you do these things, but you know, some of those groups that the municipality may have, boards, commissions, if you can get volunteer boards and stuff to push that information out, easier said than done, right? You have to get people to commit to doing those things, but that's one way that we do it in my community. Because I think, Tom, you're right. It's tough to to find room in the with schools. I mean, they have a lot of other things that they're doing, but I don't know. This document would be worth reading if you haven't looked at it.
Okay.
It's good. It's a really good document.
So this was created to give to school districts. Am I reading that correctly?
I believe so. It was it was created to be used as basically like a template for individual districts to implement.
Okay.
And it was not adopted by the State Board of Education.
Gotcha. So if any school is using it, it's their own district's choosing.
Yeah, and I don't know if any and if any schools are using it. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
Man. This is cool.
So if we're looking at how this relates to advocacy, I mean, if these are the things that this plan wants to promote, getting the stuff into schools and getting it into programs, into the community, it has to be the leaders. That's where the advocacy piece comes in, right? Because it has to be those decision makers that make that happen.
Right.
So how do we drill down that advocacy piece? And is it this is just focused on the educational advocacy? Is this group sort of drilling down into that piece, does it need to be more than one group? Does advocacy really need to go into its own bucket versus education?
Right.
Advocacy is huge. Yeah. We
can advocate for funding for our parks, for land acquisitions, for education, all these different things. It's a pretty big topic.
Yeah.
I almost feel with you describing it that way, possibly so, because even with education, you know, we can have a whole group that focuses just on education within schools or, you know, early childhood type of, you know, scenarios, or then education that is more community based. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it needs to be two groups.
They're big. They're very, very big.
Yeah, so the previous plan, the way the initiative was set up, was advocacy and funding. And then environmental education was its own piece. So those are the all those initiatives that the plan had. The groups, let me see. The groups they had four working groups: public participation and advocacy. So there's where advocacy fell in that last one. Benefits and economic impacts of recreation, outdoor recreation and environmental education, state parks management and smart growth. So it's complicated because there's these layers that we're trying to, everything weaves together. But I don't know. I guess, does it make sense that this one group that will drill down is together, advocacy and education, or is it worth making advocacy its own group, and education being its own group? Sounds like we're starting to lean towards education being its own group.
Yeah.
That way.
So I guess maybe that could be something we throw out too. And the presentation, Stacey, when you can just say that, you know, this is something that we were talking about within our group, that maybe this should be its own group, and see what the group says, see if there's any feedback there.
Okay.
Related to advocacy, who else would be, we've talked about some people that would be good to add into the education piece, but advocacy, who would be some other folks around the state to bring in related to that?
Um, I mean, there's so many people that you could bring in from so many places if you want to talk about parks as a whole. I mean, everything from, you know, environmental to play. I mean, you know, it's really, it's, you want to stay sort of centralized in an area.
Seems like that one would definitely be important to catch all across the state, right? Advocacy. Because that's so different in all the regions.
Hey guys, just a 5-minute warning. I don't know if when I hit the like, I don't know what it was. It wasn't chat, but broadcast a message to all. I don't know if it's coming across to the groups or not. Did y'all see that?
I saw it.
Okay, perfect.
Thanks, Alicia.
Just checking. Thank you.
Goes fast.
I know it does go fast. And y'all have the smallest group, so you're going to have the most accomplished, right?
Yeah.
Less chitter chatter and rabbit holes, maybe.
We're ready to go to print.
Right? Tom's written the document already.
Yeah, what?
Copy and paste.
Yeah, right?
So with a few minutes left, I guess thinking about what to present to the group, what do you think? We have talked pretty separately about education, and we started getting into a little bit of advocacy and how it covers so many different areas and regions. So how should we put this together to sort of get the group thinking about it?
I really want to go back. I know I should have done more homework, but I really want to go back and look at the prior plan and see what they really nailed on advocacy and, you know, what they felt come up a little short. I know some of the things that Ann talked about, and just, like I said, revisit those or, you know, continue on, I guess is the best way to put it.
So you are probably not the only one that needs to go back and review the plan, I would guess.
I mean, I've looked at it. I read the executive, but man, you get into all of the different components and stuff because it's just so many different areas that you can go to. You don't want to leave nobody short, and you don't know where, you know, but I don't want to be like, I love the possibility of putting a plane into schools and things like that. But if we are going to hit, do we keep just banging on the door if it's closed? Or do we spend our time and, you know, energy trying to, you know, get something that's been working and needs new growth?
Well, yeah, I think if we were going to choose a group to partner with, whether it was, you know, school systems or local parks and rec, you know, it would be the parks and rec. I think we'd get further with them as far as creating a program that would be equitable and educational for and have the most access. Because the schools are, it's hard to infiltrate.
I agree with you, Stacy.
A few things that I'll just mention these. I know we're about to get kicked out of this room, but so with the advocacy in Ann's document, so some of the things that were not successes. So no dedicated funding source for state parks was created or established. Funding's talked about a lot in survey responses. So how does the advocacy piece help that, right? Get some funding for the park. So that was, I guess that, you know, that just didn't happen before. This Heritage Conservation Trust Fund hasn't had any activity. There was the idea of creating an outreach coalition that was not accomplished. So there's some things that could still be worked out there in advocacy that didn't get accomplished. And maybe it's re-looking at that and, you know, a new approach to some of those ideas and some new ideas maybe too.
Designated funding would be home run.
Yeah.
Absolutely.